Greetings, my brothers and sisters of the Spirit. This is your daily devotional, and it's Pastor Bob bringing you the 16th installment of our Book of Job devotion series. We're going to begin at chapter 16, and today we're going to include chapter 17. 17 especially is short, and 16's pretty short itself, so we're going to get two in today, and those two chapters are going to be Job's response to Eliphaz, right, who we heard from yesterday. And we heard Eliphaz's second discourse to Job yesterday, and we'll hear the two chapters of Job's response today. There, I think that might explain it. I don't know. Well, looking back on 15, so what did Eliphaz have to say, and what can we learned from it? Well, as I mentioned on the recording, this is starting to feel like a presidential debate. And in a sense, that's true. It is basically an intellectual debate, going back and forth, making arguments, responding, making new arguments or responding to the response, and then keep going in order, in all fairness, so that everyone gets their say, all in written dialogue form. So that's kind of an intellectual battle, not unlike today when we use athletic contests to decide things or other things like that. So it's now clear that all these three friends and Job are having some kind of intellectual discourse pertaining to the issues of life and God and suffering, really. So Eliphaz, as you could tell again yesterday, is the spiritualist. He has spoke of dreams, having visions. He himself rests a lot of his perspective on the world from experience and thinks that his experience was so great that it's the answer, it's the truth, you know, and now he knows the truth and it's based on his experience. That, friends, is a fairly common technique used in Christian churches. The experience actually responds to your biases, and then you claim that the experience is the truth because your experience proves what you thought was true, but it's really your own prejudice or bias. That's how we hear this a lot in television and, you know, certain speakers and definitely some preachers that put their experience before truth so that their experience can confirm their own truth. Eliphaz is guilty of speaking like that, but the question always is, has his experience contained some truth? So I would say then, before we go on, while these three friends of Job really aren't directly giving him a remedy or a solution to his problem, a lot of things they say should be considered as truth or partially true in its own context. So it's not just disposable because of that. So here we go. Job is going to respond to Eliphaz in chapters 16 and 17. Then Job replied, "I have heard many things like these. You are miserable comforters, all of you. Will your long-winded speeches never end? What ails you that you keep on arguing? It also could speak like you if you were in my place. I could make fine speeches against you and shake my head at you, but my mouth would encourage you. Comfort from my lips would bring you relief. Yet if I speak, my pain is not relieved, and if I refrain, it does not go away. Surely, God, you have worn me out. You have devastated my entire household. You have shriveled me up, and it has become a witness. My gauntiness rises up and testifies against me. God assails me and tears me in his anger and gnashes his teeth at me. My opponent fastens on me his piercing eyes. People open their mouths to jeer at me. They strike my cheek in scorn and unite together against me. God has turned me over to the ungodly and thrown me into the clutches of the wicked. All was well with me, but he shattered me. He seized me by the neck and crushed me. He has made me his target. His archers surround me. Without pity, he pierces my kidneys and spills my gall on the ground. Again and again, he bursts upon me. He rushes at me like a warrior. I have sewed sackcloth over my skin and buried my brow in the dust. My face is red with weeping. Dark shadows ring my eyes. Yet my hands have been free of violence, and my prayer is pure. Earth, do not cover my blood. May my cry never be laid to rest. Even now, my witness is in heaven. My advocate is on high. My intercessor is my friend as my eyes pour out tears to God. On behalf of a man who pleads with God as one pleads for a friend. Only a few weeks will pass before I take the path of no return. And now we begin chapter 17, verse 1, picks up right where we left off. My spirit is broken. My days are cut short. Thy grave awaits me. Surely mockers surround me. My eyes must dwell on their hostility. Give me, O God, the pledge you demand. Who else will put up security for me? You have closed their minds to understanding. Therefore, you will not let them triumph. If anyone denounces their friends for reward, the eyes of their children will fail. God has made me a byword to everyone, a man in whose face people spit. My eyes have grown dim with grief. My whole frame is but a shadow. The upright are appalled at this. The innocent are aroused against the ungodly. Nevertheless, the righteous will hold to their ways, and those with clean hands will grow stronger. But come on, all of you, try again. I will not find a wise man among you. My days have passed, my plans are shattered, yet the desires of my heart turn night into day. In the face of the darkness, light is near. If the only home I hope for is the grave, if I spread out my bed in the realm of darkness, if I say to corruption, you are my father, and to the worm, my mother or my sister, when then is my hope? Who can see any hope for me? Will it go down to the gates of death? Will we descend together into the dust? Amen.